We getting to share some pretty exciting stuff this morning. I hope that you're ready for it. There's just moments. There's moments along the way in your life where you can just look at those moments and you know that God did something special. You know that God was moving in your heart. You know that He was leading you to do something. You can look back on some of those moments and go, well, I completely botched that because I didn't follow Him, or, you know, whatever. The truth is we can't ruin God's will. The deal is that we're talking about today is some of what God has led us to as a church. And I'm excited to get to share about a good bit of that this morning and who Jesus is and part of why He came and part of how we're challenged and how He came to how we should go. And so today it gets a little real, okay? And so I'm just kind of give you a heads up, and we'll be talking about some stuff here later in the service. Let's get the lights turned up just a little bit more on everybody so I can see everybody's happy faces. Let's do this. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and get your Bible out. And if you don't have one, just throw your hand up, and our ushers will bring you one. They will be glad to get you one, and we've got those. Just hold your hand up, and then we will get it to you. If you don't own a Bible, you can have that one. If you do own one and you just need to borrow it, that's fine too. So just whatever. Just throw your hand up there. Let old Joshy take care of you. Everybody say hey to Joshy. Joshy's flying solo. Flying solo this service. You know, working the whole room. We're glad to have you this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for choosing, especially during Christmas season, to spend it with us. That's how we came about for this series is the thought of, you know, this is a time of year when we celebrate Christ coming. And to ask the question, why? Why did Christ come? And we know some basics of the gospel. We know that God gave His Son. I hope that you hear that. That God gave His Son, that He loved us so much that He gave His Son, that His Son would take our place and take our death that we deserve for our sin, that we might be able to put on His righteousness, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, to be able to be saved, to be able to be free from sin. All these things means huge deal, huge, huge deal. The Father sent His Son, gave His Son in our place, and that He would take on our death, that we would kill Him on the cross. But the beauty of it is that death wouldn't hold Him, and He came back to life 3 days later. And so, for us this morning, those are awesome pieces for us to cling to. But the truth is that Jesus also, He came and He lived this life. And in living this life, there are certain aspects of it that I think that we can see how we are supposed to go on mission ourselves by seeing reasons and why He Himself was sent. And today is definitely one of those passages. In fact, if you want to go ahead and turn to the book of Mark, we're going to the book of Mark, and we'll be in chapter 10 in the book of Mark. One of the things that we have done in lieu of our mission statement, and I'll read you our mission statement. The mission of 24 Church is to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we are going to live that statement out, if we're going to be a church that glorifies God by making disciples through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that means that we need to teach and try to understand the best that we can what the gospel is. What does that mean? What is that? And so today, even today, this piece that we're talking about today, I'll be honest with you, is one of those pieces that I think that most of us as Christians, at least at times in our life, if not right now, have a little bit backwards. We don't realize we have it backwards. We're not trying to have it backwards. Our heart is in the right place. We're trying to do the right thing. And we think that we're on track with that. But at the end of the day, something's happened. And we've turned into something we've not wanted to be. We're going to talk about this. We're looking at this passage in the book of Mark. And this passage in the book of Mark, we've got a couple of Jesus' disciples. And they're hanging with Jesus. And they're having this conversation with Him. And they're asking for something. They don't really know what they're asking for. They don't really realize how big of a deal it is that they're asking what they're asking. And to be honest with you, I don't really think that their heart's in the right place anyway. I think they're just kind of being like, if you remember when you were a kid and then like you got involved, invited to a birthday party Everybody wants to sit by the kid whose birthday it is, right? At the birthday party. Why is that? I don't know. But you want to sit by the kid who's getting the presents, who's getting the first slice of cake, who's getting to blow out the candles. I don't know if you're trying to photobomb or whatever it is, but you want to sit by the kid whose birthday it is, okay? And that's kind of what we've got going on with Jesus and the two disciples here. Let's read this in Mark 10, verse 35. Mark 10, verse 35, it says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, 'Teacher,'" I mean, they got some guts. Here we go. "'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.'" I would just encourage like any kids to go say that to their parents today and see how that works out for them, right? "'Teacher, we want you to do whatever, do for us whatever we ask of you.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" I'm imagining Jesus laughing while he says that, but I don't think he probably did, but I want him to have. "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Talking about in eternity, okay? "And Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drank or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And Jesus said to them, 'The cup that I drink you will drink, and the baptism which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared.' And when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John." They began to be annoyed with them. "And Jesus called to him and said to them, 'You know those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you.'" In other words, you're not going to act like they do, okay? "But whoever," check this out, "but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave to all." And then verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is, this is a stout passage. You take this passage and, you know, it's. I mean, I can't help but think it's a little funny that the disciples are like, have the guts to really ask this of Jesus. Like, you know, "Hey, Jesus, you know, hey, dude, we want to hang out. We want to like sit by you, you know, in eternity. Can we do that? I'll take right. He can have the left. We just want to call dibs on it now. It's like we're calling shotgun on the way to the car, you know?" And Jesus is like, you guys don't have a stinking clue, do you? And so Jesus tells him, like, "Hey, it's not mine to give. That's for whoever the Father basically sees fit to be sitting there. That's who's going to be sitting there, and it's not mine to give." Well, you go down, and Jesus begins to kind of attack the heart issue that's going on with these two guys, and even with the other disciples, because they're starting to get annoyed with each other, and they're starting to, you know, what's happening here is, you know, I'm guessing probably a little bit of bickering back and forth, probably, you know, who is deserving of these positions, and, well, you know, I don't know why you guys asked Jesus. I'm probably more likely to, you know, Jesus likes me more, kind of a deal, and I'll hold his presence while he's opening them and stuff, you know. But the deal is here is that Jesus sees the heart issue. And he attacks it immediately. He goes straight to it. If you go to verse 43 right there, it says this. It says, "But it shall not be so among you." He's saying, don't act like the Gentiles and their rulers and how they lord over each other. We're not playing that game. He says, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all." So Jesus attacks this heart issue with the disciples and is like, "Guys, you got it all wrong. This is not the way this is supposed to work out. You know, this is about us serving one another." And he says, "And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. It's strong language, you know, to talk about being slaves to one another. And then in verse 45, it says this. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so right here, we have Jesus actually say, you know, we're in the series, Sending Jesus. You know, why was Jesus sent? Is you know, kind of the question that we've been asking. And then out of that question, in an understanding more and more of why Jesus was sent, we understand more and more how God wants us to go. Okay, very simple, very, very understandable kind of concept there. Well, in looking in this, I mean, if you look all through Scripture, there's not just a ton of instances where Jesus talks specifically about exactly why he came. But he does so right here. Verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came," he's talking about himself, "for even the Son of Man came not to be served." So the answer to part of the question today of, you know, why would God the Father send Jesus? One of the answers is not to be served. This is going to mess with our heads here in just a minute. Okay, just hang with me. It says, "Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Okay, so we get it. Jesus came to be a servant. He's humble. He portrays that for us. And so we see this amazing example of what it looks like to really serve others, to really live in this world, to really walk the walk of Christ is to live in service. But wait just a second. What did it say? He came not to be served. How many of you have ever heard that we're supposed to serve Jesus? Anybody? If you grew up in church, if you ever sat on a church step, you have heard somebody say that you're supposed to serve Jesus, right? I mean, that's just something that we understand. So, what? I'm confused. How is it that Jesus, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many"? Well, that must be, and we must just be misreading this, right, Chris? I mean, it's something not quite right. Well, let's look at Acts 17. In Acts 17, verse 24, and you can hold that place if you want to be able to go back to it, it's fine. But Acts 17, verse 24, it says this. It says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man." In other words, God doesn't live in church buildings. Now, I'm not saying he can't dwell in church buildings. I'm just saying that's not like, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I grew up sometimes like thinking like that was like where God lived, like he's at the church building, you know, and like in a, you heard people when you were little, right? It said like, don't run in church. You know, don't run in church because, you know, they put on like this thing of like, you can't run in church because God's an old man and you're going to give him a heart attack and his pacemaker is going to go off or something. And that's not biblical, okay? God is old, but he's not an old man and he doesn't have a pacemaker and you're not going to upset him if you run in church. So just, I don't care. Run in church, kids. Unless your parents say don't, and then you can blame it on me. But, you know, it says, you know, he does not live in temples made by man, verse 25, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. So, this passage backs up what Jesus just said, which, as if that wasn't good enough for us to read it there, you know, but we're seeing even furthermore that we can't serve him. He doesn't need anything. It says, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. John Piper, who some of the passage stuff I'm using today, honestly, came from an article I was reading about serving. It just got a hold of me, some of the way, the approach, and some of this understanding. And he says like this, it's like the stream that tries to fill the spring that feeds it. You know what I'm saying? like a stream is fed by a spring. Well, the stream can't feed the spring. The spring feeds the stream. This is very true for us. And so what do we do with this? Because, I mean, we've got scripture that says what? It says stuff like, serve the Lord with gladness. Have you heard of that one? I mean, time and time again, we see passages that talk about serving God. We see it, and we know that there's... So what's the deal? Because there's got to be a deal, right? There's got to be something that we understand that helps us to understand this. I think for us to recognize things like what we see in the Old Testament with the Israelites. You remember these guys? You remember what they did was they were having worship services, they were making sacrifices and all this stuff, and then if you study through that, you'll see that God ends up telling them at times, he's like, guys, stop it. The stuff you're doing, it's detestable to me. Why was it detestable? Well, if you go back and you study and you look at all that, there were some heart issues going on. There were some heart issues going on with those people. And what they were doing is they were going through the motions. They were serving. They were checking off the list. They were being good legalistic, you know, Christians, so to speak. You know, they were, you know, well, you know, I served God today. You know, I got that and I checked that off the list, you know. So he ought to be happy with me and all that. That's not the way it works. That's not even close to what God is interested in us serving him for. And if we're not careful, we'll end up being just like the Israelites. We'll end up being just like a people whose sacrifices and worship are detestable to God. And we don't want to be there. We don't want to do that. We don't want to live there. That's not what God's called us to. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. But the truth is that we do know that somehow, some way, we are supposed to serve God. So what does that even look like? Because we have so much other scripture that teaches us this. And I think here you get to the heart issue of what's going on. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to look at a couple of passages in 1 Peter. But 1 Peter chapter 5 is the first one. And it's just a couple of verses. It starts in verse 6, and it says this. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Let me read that again. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. This is something we can actually give God. This is something that he wants to receive from us. 1 Peter 5:6, read it again. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Casting, what? All your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Are you worried about something? Are you anxious about something? Is something else driving you around in life to make you feel a certain way of being anxious or worried or whatever it is? We have other scripture that teaches us and shows us that God says, don't worry. Put your anxieties on me. Cast all your cares on him. So we know, first of all, one of the things that we can do is that we can actually give to him all of these things that make us worry and cause us to be anxious. So this is a great piece, but to start that off, 1 Peter 5, verse 6, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves at the mighty hand of God. Let me ask you a question. What does it look like for you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? In your life right now, what are you worried about? What are you anxious about that you're struggling to humble yourself under His mighty hand? Because that's the starting point for most of us. You see, where the Israelites would get it wrong, and where we've gotten it wrong many times, is it became about doing the right thing. It became about, you know, and in hearing any kind of a message or something that you hear about serving God, I mean, you're immediately starting to go, if you're like me, if you're seeking Jesus, you're starting to go, how can I serve God? How am I not serving God? How could I serve God? I mean, you start asking all these questions, and it comes from the right place, okay? Comes from your heart of just going, you know, I want to serve God. I want to do the right thing. But let me challenge you with that. Let me challenge you with that with another passage out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4 says this in verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And read that part again. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. You remember that promise that Jesus made before He went back to be with the Father? We've talked about it like almost every week of this series. But in that promise, that little tidbit, Jesus made a promise, and He said, the Spirit will come and be with you, and so will be the power of God. That we don't go and we don't do this alone. We go and we do this with Him. But not just with Him. It's supposed to be a certain way. It's supposed to be Him leading us. Not us leading Him. Not us going, well, you know, God, got a busy week planned out here, God, so here's what we're going to do. Me and you, we're gonna work this out this week. I've got X amount of things on the calendar, and I'm going to work you in wherever I can. All right, so here we go. I'm going to plug in here, plug in there, you know, that kind of thing. This is the issue. We got to let go. We have to let go of the reins. We have to let God lead us. You know what that means? It means that we have to trust Him. It means we have to trust Him. You say, well, Chris, that's easy. Is it? I'd like to hang out with you. It's not easy. And it's not easy sometimes because we're so good at stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, we're so good. We're so good at scheduling. We're so good at our jobs. We're so good at having certain abilities in this world that we will completely trust in ourselves before we'll trust in Jesus so many days of our lives. We're so prone to just look at something. Today, we're going to take a group of guys. You're welcome to join us if you want to go. We're going to take a group of guys after this service to go to a sister church, a newer church plant down in Madison. They've got some needs with like doing stuff in their building, and they don't have many guys or hardly any guys there that have the abilities to be able to construct and do some of the stuff that needs to be done. We're going to go serve them. We're going to go today and assess kind of what needs to be done. And we're going to see about us as a church serving that church and trying to help them along. I didn't even ask for it. I just went in there one day and like saw it and was like, where's your bathrooms? And they were like, well, those are going to be bathrooms one day. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I see you got a pipe in the ground, you know? I'm like, what are you going to do with that? Well, we don't know. We're just praying about it. I'm like, okay. Can we come down here? Because we got some guys that know how to use, you know, do stuff with pipes. And they were like, yeah, we can do that. So, you know, but even there, it would be so easy to rely on abilities and to walk in and be able to go, you know, dude, we got it together. We've got a whole construction crew here at your disposal, and we're just going to come in here, and we're going to blow through this thing like crazy. But at the end of the day, what God is saying and what he's showing us is that we need to be led by him in serving. What did it say? Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Why? Because it goes on, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I look back on my life, whether it's ministry, life, whatever, and I can tell you I've botched it so many times. But on the times that I got this one right were the moments that I cherish of my life and of ministry are the moments that I look back and I go, I managed for some reason to trust in God in that moment and followed him blindly into what he was leading me to do. And I just went with it. And I just trusted him. And he led me and he guided me and he protected me and he provided and he did so many. And it's just, and it's testimony to him. I had somebody ask me recently, they said, man, how do you know that God is real? And I just started laughing. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I said, I'm not trying to laugh at your question. I said, I'm laughing because in my heart, I'm at a place in my life where I have seen God move and do so many things at this point. It's been a while since I've thought about God not being real. You know? What's happened is we fall back into the legalism thing. We fall back into the thought of, you know, I want to do all the right things. And it becomes a checklist for us. But the truth is this. If our house is on fire, and one of our trusty firemen, we have a bunch of those guys here at 24. If our house is on fire and we're trapped inside, and the firemen show up, and they come, let's say one of them comes and finds us in a room that's engulfed in flames, and they're there to get us out. They're there to rescue us. Probably not on the top so many things that we're going to say to them at that moment is, hey, would you like something to drink? I mean, I'm just guessing. You know, in most fire situations where you need to be rescued, you're probably not going to ask the firemen if they would like something to drink. You're going to be concerned about your life and hoping that they can get you out alive, right? You see, what's happened for us is we are attempting at times out of good heart, out of good meaning sometimes, out of like trying to do the right thing. You hear how I'm saying it though, right? Trying to do the right thing on our own accord, on our own will, without the strength of God, without the power of him, without his leading, like we're still trying to do the right thing, right? Serve him. And let me just tell you, this ends up and leads us to the same place every time, and it's burnout and just being like, well, I just don't really care, you know? You know, God, I need to take a break. And so then you got all kinds of people that are taking breaks, and they take breaks forever. They'll take breaks, you know, they get to a certain point, place in life even, where they'll just be like, well, you know, I served God when I was younger, and I'm retired now, so I'm just hanging out for Jesus now these days, you know? Man, Jesus didn't do that, you know? We never see Jesus go into retirement. You go, well, he got killed when he was young. Yeah, I get it. But we have plenty of other examples through Scripture, too, that do the same. And the truth is we're just called to serve him, but we're called to allow him to work through us. Why? Why? You remember why? Because it says why right here. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In order that in everything God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, so that at the end of the day, when we go and we go help somebody or whatever it is, we can't go, well, look what I did. Look what we did. We're able to go, look at what God did. He gets the glory. He gets the fame. And instead of us going, man, it's so good to have my abilities and my abilities really carried us through this thing. No, 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 no. we go humbly, seeking him, seeking his mercy, looking for his leading, that God would show us what to do. And yeah, he may use our abilities, and that's great, that's good. But at the end of the day, it's not about us, it's about him. It's about people seeing Jesus in us. God doesn't need assistance, you know? He doesn't need us to come along and be the best secretary he ever had, or the best go-boy, or whatever it is. And the truth is that so many of us approach our relationship with God, and again, out of the right heart, please hear what I'm about to say, out of the right heart, we get excited about Jesus and what he's doing, and we get in our mind, God, me and you, buddy, we're going after it. And I'm going to be your first round draft pick. And you're going to use me, and we're going to do great things together. And at the end of the day, here's the truth of it. God's already got a first round draft pick. He died on a cross for us. And the truth is he's waiting for us to give him the ball. And us to go, hey, I'm just along for the ride. Here's the ball. You carry it, and you just lead me. Show me. That's humility. That's hard for us to have sometimes. And the truth is so many times this happens in our lives, the truth is we don't realize it's happening. We don't realize that we're becoming like the Israelites, where we're making empty offerings. We're making empty sacrifices. We missed it, and we didn't know. We didn't mean to. It wasn't on purpose. That's the beauty of Scripture, is it helps realign us back with what God's will is in our life. And God's will for our lives is that he is glorified, that he is made known. And so our service to him has to come out of a heart that loves him. That loves him. Because here's when service to God, to Jesus, looks awesome and gives glory to him, and it doesn't look like anything on us, is when we're in love with Jesus and it comes out of our response to him. Not out of doing good things, not out of helping people, okay? But it comes because we love Jesus. We're enamored with what he's done for us. And in turn, we can't help but want to worship him and like be him, that others might also see him and know him. That is how to serve God. See, that was Jesus's heart. That's the connection of, you know, Jesus was sent. He was sent, all right. He served the Father the entire time he was here, leaving us this great example of what it looks like to serve the Father. And in humility, served the Father. You know, at times when he could have easily said, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm Jesus, okay? You know, there's just certain things that I'm just not going to do because I'm God. God with us. I'm Emmanuel, okay? Let's just go with that and just go, you know, next, you know, what's something else I can do for somebody? Let's don't wash somebody's feet. Let's just keep healing people over here because I'm good at that, right? I've got a good talent with that one. Jesus was humble. He set an example for us. We'll talk about humility in another later week. It bleeds over into so much of what we're studying here. So, we know we're called to serve. We know that it's called to come out of the right heart of worship. So, here's what happened, okay? This is us now, 24 Church right now, real time. This is staff retreat a couple month and a half ago, whenever it was. We've been praying about, you know, how God might lead us as a church. And we began talking about one of the issues that we've seen is, you know, and this is prevalent in probably every church, but we see from time to time, we see people that are complacent. We see people that are happy with just coming. They're not really on the mission, so to speak, with what God has called us to. God has called us to be as a church and that kind of thing. And just so you know, I want you to hear me say this. You'll hear me use terminology like consumer and that kind of thing. Part of my calling as a pastor is that I'm supposed to lead everybody. I don't care where you are on the map. If you're a consumer and you never served, you serve every week and you're killing it and you love Jesus more than anybody I've ever met in my life. The truth is, as a pastor, I'm called to lead everybody through this. And what does it look like to honor God and glorify Him? That's at the end of the day. That's my only concern. And so we begin talking about, there's a lot of people that are complacent and, you know, they just come and they consume and, you know, they just, you know, just do the thing. They go to church, which you've heard me, if you've been around here for any length of time whatsoever, you've heard me talk against the going to church versus being the church. And so we begin talking about that attitude, and we begin talking about, you know, what's it look like? How can we lead everybody, not just people that always are serving and doing whatever, but how can we lead everybody? And I'm not talking about just Sunday mornings either. I'm talking about just serving Jesus with their lives. How do we lead everybody into being the church instead of going to church? And so Nathan always loves bringing up this little saying, and it's this whole whatever you win people with is what you win them to. Whatever you win people with is what you win them to. And so we begin talking about, you know, what have we won people to? What have we won them with that they've been won to? And like most churches, you know, I think could agree that most churches have done this phenomenal job at times, or not even that phenomenal sometimes, of winning people with a Sunday morning thing, okay? So we've made church in our minds like buildings with steeples and Sunday morning things, right? And so we begin talking, you know, okay, so we've won people with a Sunday morning thing, and so we've won them to a Sunday morning thing. And so it's really easy for people to just come and they plug in, they unplug, you know, they consume, and then they leave, they go home. I mean, this is the South. This is a lot of the culture that most of us have grown up with. So, you know, some of it isn't even, you know, that maybe necessarily, it, you know, we purposely did that here, but it's a part of the culture that we fight. And so going to church makes a whole lot more sense than being the church to a lot of people, because a lot of people don't, you know, they just want to consume. And so our hearts obviously are broken for folks that just want to consume, just going, you know, we don't want people to just consume. We want people to live lives of worship for Jesus like He saved them. Like he's given them everything, you know? Like he rescued them from the fire, you know? And so he said, okay, we've won them with Sunday mornings and two Sunday mornings. We start there. What's that look like? What could we do? What could we do? How could we mess with Sunday mornings? How could we mess with this sacred cow of a thing that we've made and we've all, you know, grown accustomed to it being this way all the time and that kind of thing? How could we put our money where our mouth is if we say that we want people to glorify Jesus in all their lives in these certain ways or whatever? How can we lead them to do that? Including nothing's off the table as long as it comes under Scripture and it honors God. Even how could we mess with Sunday mornings? Nathan brought up a church that does a thing. They have a breakfast basically once a month instead of having a service on Sunday mornings. They have a breakfast. Well, I mean, brothers like to eat, right? So I'm thinking, man, hash browns and ketchup on a Sunday morning instead of me speaking for, you know, 40 minutes. That sounds really good. Get some cinnamon rolls in there. Come on. So I started getting excited about it. You know, I was like, let's have some breakfast. Let's do that. Let's talk about that. So we started, and the whole, here's the deal. You got to go back and understand even why. Why would a church do that? Why would a church want to have breakfast instead of having a worship service on Sunday mornings? This is a smaller church, mind you. And this church, you know, the reason they did this is because they feel so strongly that a part of being the church is being in community together. Okay? that they felt like they needed to put their money where their mouth was and take out one Sunday a month where they gather and are in community with one another, checking on each other, loving on each other, eating each other's hash browns. I mean, just, you know, having a big time, you know, and really ministering to one another. So, I mean, that sounded great. It was like, well, you know, that's pretty awesome. And then we got to talking about, well, with sometimes having like 500 people here or more on a Sunday, you know, we'd have to have like four different breakfast times if we put tables in here and chairs around them just to fit everybody. And then how do you do that? How do you rotate through? And then at the end of the day, we don't even have like a real kitchen. We've got some pretty cool stuff back there, but we don't have the permits for like the real deal stuff in there. And so then we just said, and I don't remember who said what. It was all such a blur, but it was just like God leading our conversation from this point forward. But it began to be, okay, well, if community is so important to them, and we're concerned about winning people to what is important to us, what is important to us? And so we went back to the very basics, and we said, love God, love people, live gospel. What would it look like if one month, instead of having a normal worship service, we had a time together where we love God and we live that out together as the church? Like we gather together and we love God together somehow. You go, well, I think we kind of do that. Well, we do that on Sunday mornings, okay? That's a part of it. But what if like the whole time was centered around us loving God together as the church in prayer? What if we're praying together? What if we don't have kids that day? What if we don't have kids on those days and our kids come in with us and they get to see mom or dad or both or grandma or whoever they came with? What if they got to see us seek God together with the rest of the church? What if we prayed for specific things? What if we were able to pray for families in need on that morning specifically that maybe we gathered with for a few minutes? Or what if we were walking the halls and there's signs hanging up in the walls of things specifically that you can stop right there and you can pray for those things right there? What if, you know, like let's just say you're walking around the hall and you come to a sign that says Matt Loxley, or my man here plays bass. That brother's about to get married. His life is about to change, right? Okay? He needs some prayer, right? We need to pray for that brother, you know? And so, we just say, God, just let's pray for Matt. Let's pray, you know, and I get my kids together and I say, hey, we're going to pray for Matt. He's getting married. We need to pray that God would allow him to be a godly husband and a spiritual leader in his home. We would pray that God would continue to use him to glorify him in the music and things that he's been gifted to do and in his job and blah, 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 blah. You know, What if we got to do that together, okay? Love God. You're getting a picture of it. That ain't all of it, but that's some of it. Love people, okay? Month two, all right? Month two, again, instead of having a normal service, we do something where we love people. It's be a little more like the breakfast idea, where it's very community-driven and where we're looking for ways that we can connect together on that morning and minister to one another and meet people, you know, and that kind of thing. And you imagine like a welcome time that's been extended much longer, thrown in some direction of how we're going to be in community with each other on those days. To be the body, to be the church together, okay? Big, big deal. Great days for us to share in the stories of what God is doing in people's lives, to hear testimonies. Great days to be able to do baptisms together, to celebrate what God is doing in the lives of others. You know, being the church, taking communion together. We'll be doing that probably every one of these, okay? Love God, love people, and live gospel. You get the idea. Again, a little bit of the picture. Still a lot more to it. Third thing, live gospel, month number three, okay? I don't think you're ready for this. All right? Are you ready for this? I don't think you are. I just remember at this point in the conversation, like feeling like God was leading us so clearly in what we were talking about that when we got to this point, and I remember, this is the only thing I can remember saying at this point, I just remember asking the question, okay, because we'd been doing them in succession. I said, what does it look like for us to live gospel? And, I mean, it just started to fly. Imagine coming once every 3 months to a kind of a, I don't know, I'll call it a kind of a pep rally for Jesus, if you will. Very short, but a time for us to gather for just a minute, maybe sing a song about how great God is and be reminded in Scripture about how Jesus was sent. And then in turn, he told us that the Father sent me and I am sending you, kind of a thing. And then in turn, we actually leave here and go serve people. No two services, no kids. Kids serve with their parents. And we go and we love on people in the community that God has planted us in. And we go and we get to help pick up your neighbor's sticks, who you don't know if they know Jesus or not, but you're able to come and go, hey, I'm going to need like 10 or 15 people to go with me just to help my neighbor. They're really in need. I don't know if they know Jesus. And here's the deal. We go and we don't just serve people. We don't just do nice things for them. We don't just love them. We share the gospel with them. We share Jesus with them. You see, this junk just got real, didn't it? And you go, well, I don't even know what to do. Listen, you don't have to have some kind of special skill to be able to do this. You're not going to go alone to do it. We're going to go together. Right off the bat, I told membership the other night, I said this. I said, you know, let's say we average like 400, 450 people on an average Sunday or whatever. Let's just say that on this Sunday, you know, at least like the first one or the first couple, let's just say that like 150 people right off the top are scared to death and they don't even show, okay? All right? Let's say we've got 300 people left. Let's say we send out 300 people to love and serve our community. The city, your neighbors, the schools, the nursing home, hospital, whatever it is. 300 people go out at the same time and serve in the name of Jesus Christ. Because everybody, everywhere we go, they're going to know we came because of Jesus. We're going to make sure of that, okay? That's like priority, okay? Because this isn't about just being good people. It's not about just loving people. This is about showing Christ, living the gospel, okay? You can't tell me that that's not going to have a great kingdom impact for us to be able to do that. It has the potential for God, because I'm praying that we don't try to take hold of this, but we let God lead us through it, and it is by his power that these things happen. But I see the potential for God to use this to begin to change the culture in which we live in by us getting to do this, by God getting to do this through us. And I look at that and I think to myself, man, that's amazing. That's amazing. I'll be honest with you. I think a byproduct of us beginning to try to put our money where our mouth is, and we said we won people to a Sunday morning thing, we're going to take our Sunday morning thing, and once a month we're going to live out one of these things. I think a byproduct of that is going to be people seeing the church trying, you hear me say that, right? Trying to be the church and not play it. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't want to play it. I want to be it. And I know what Jesus wants us to do. And so the potential here of how Jesus, you know, may use this, I can just about guarantee you we're gonna see people come to Christ. We're gonna see people receive Jesus as their Savior. We're gonna see the church grow. And then we're gonna have to figure out what to do with that. So I'm just going to tell you right up front. I mean, all this sounds really good and exciting. Like, man, this is good stuff. You know, we're going to do this. And I'm scared and I ain't coming on the third one or whatever. Whatever you're thinking right now, okay? I'm reading your mind and we're going to drive by your house and see if you're home on those days, okay? So just be ready. I'm just kidding. But you never know. If you live close by, we might. Some of you are going to move now. Some of you are probably going to change churches. But no, I think what's going to happen is we're going to see the church grow. And here's the deal. If the church is going to grow, I need to know right now, we got to all be in. This isn't something that, like, the leadership that's always doing everything, and they're just going to be able to, listen, this is about us being the church together. I'm not talking about just on Sunday mornings, but Sunday mornings is a part of it. And if God is going to grow our ministry on Sunday mornings, it means that we've got to be committed to the mission of what God has given us to do. And I'm putting my money where the mouth is and saying, it's not just about the Sunday morning thing. We're willing to sacrifice that normal Sunday morning thing to do what we feel like God is calling us to live out and being the church. Are you with me? And this is something you're going to need to pray about. Something you're going to need to pray on with your family, with other friends, other people in your community groups, whatever it is. And seek the Lord and ask God, God, what is it that you're leading me to be a part of here? God created us for his glory. You see, it always comes back to that. It always comes back to that. And if we're not careful along the way, what we'll do is we'll say, I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him harder than I've ever served in my life. You know? We may mean well by it, but the truth is that if we don't do it in allowing him to lead us, if we don't do it out of our worship and our love for our Creator, it's probably not going to be done in the right heart. And I know you don't want that. I don't either. So we got to check ourselves with the gospel. Because the truth is we can't serve him. But he, working through us, can bring him glory. Jesus came to serve. And if we trust in him, we can too. And it is as simple as trusting in him. He's not the first responder. He's the only responder. It is in him that we have life. And if you're here today, and if you've never trusted in Christ to be your Savior, to be your Lord, I just want you to know, we'd love to talk with you about that. God sent his son. He gave his son as a ransom to take our place, to stand before the judge and take our punishment that we might be free from sin and that we might be able to know God personally. Talk to us today about that if God's working on your heart about it. Let's pray together.